There you are. Amen. All right. Enough of that. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. If you can't tell, my ADHD is really going crazy. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 34. That means we're going to have a good time.
Amen.
David said unto Saul, thy servant keeping, that thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I was going to let him go. But when he got smart with me, I grabbed him by the beard and I said, nah, fat chance, I ain't letting you go. I told you to get out of here, but you came at it again. And so I grabbed him by the beard. Right?
Right, right.
I'm not reading too much into that.
No. Oh,
that's what
no,
it said. Exactly.
That's what it said, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure some of y'all looking at me like, man, you're a good storyteller. I'm just telling what the Bible says.
That's right.
Okay? And smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them.
Yeah.
Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will. Everybody say will.
Will.
He will. With the utmost confidence,
right.
David knew that God would deliver.
Yeah,
amen. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. Say hello to your neighbor. Tell them how glad you are to see them in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 So we all, or maybe not all, but most of us probably know this story to some degree. And so I hope this morning that you don't just turn it off as blah, 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 but you really listen, because there are several things that I want to bring out of this setting of Scripture and apply it to us today. Amen. There were three stages here. Let's just call it, for the sake of lining this up, I'm going to call it stages of growth and maturity in David's life. Number one was, it came in the form of a lion. That was his first challenge that came to him. Now I understand he's just a young man and just starting to grow up. Brother Alfred, he just said something to me. Let me see what he said. Let's see. I think he's listening. But it's not going to let me say whether it's listening or not. Yeah, he's listening. Well, praise the Lord. I love you. Sorry. He may say, that's distracting. Well, that's them are good people clearly on the other side of the world right now. Amen. And so the first stage of growth was the lion. And the second stage of growth was the bear.
Yeah.
And then it came to the point of Goliath. Each one of these places in his life that gave him strength and faith to conquer the next level. Can you imagine, after he took care of that lion, how good he felt?
Yeah.
Can you imagine, man, I beat that. And so when the bear came, he was encouraged that much more.
Right.
And so each of these places that he conquered or had a victory in his life was preparing him for something so much greater. Let me tell us this morning that every situation, every circumstance, every problem, every difficulty that you have overcome has only increased your ability to conquer the next thing.
Right.
It is not intended intended for you to fail. It is not intended for you to lose. It is only intended for you to be stronger and have a greater ability and a greater confidence in God that you can conquer all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Each level not only prepares us for the next, but it builds our faith. It builds our faith for what God can do through us. You see, David gave God glory with the lion, and David gave God glory with the bear. And he was giving God glory before he even had the victory over Goliath. I just wonder.
Come on, Pastor.
If there's anybody that can give God glory, even in the midst of you facing the giant, you don't have the victory yet, you haven't seen the ultimate result, you haven't conquered it yet, but can you just go ahead and say, my God will deliver me out of this also? You're just trying to pump us up. No, I'm giving to you what men of old did. I'm going to preach to you a bunch of Bible here today to try to encourage us again that no matter what we are facing, if we will give God glory, if we will give God honor, he will see to it. I said he will see to it. Say, but what if I fail? You never fail.
Right.
That is a tactic and a lie of the enemy. And even though you may not see yourself as a victor or as a conqueror, and there may have been some mistakes along the way, but what happens after those mistakes is you learn. You are wiser and you are stronger. So quit capitalizing on the mistake. Quit capitalizing on the failure or the little mess up or the little whatever you want to call it. Quit capitalizing on that and start learning from it and become wiser and become stronger.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You ready for some more?
Yes.
Romans chapter 18, verse number 35. Very, very familiar setting of scripture. Romans 8 and 35 said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who?
Come on, come on.
Who? Who's going to separate you? Yeah, you can say no one. Huh? We all want to say no one. I even want to say no one. Right?
Come on.
But what about the battle that I'm in right now? What about the struggle that I'm in right now where I'm second guessing and I'm questioning, God, are you really there? Are you really listening to me? Why can't I feel you? Oh, come on, somebody. I know you feel like that. I know you struggle with those things and thoughts in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
I told somebody just the other day as I was talking, they said, well, what about this? They gave me the question and they said, I already know the answer.
Yeah.
I said, okay, what's the answer? He said, I know God's not going to fail me. And I said, then pray tell, why are you asking the question?
All right, come on.
He said, because it is still there. And I said, then tell me, how do you know that God is not going to fail you? And he says, I don't know. And I said, I'll tell you how you know, because you've been reading your Bible. And David said it a long time ago, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He got something down on the inside. And I said, brother, I'm telling you the reason why, that you can say yes, God will not fail me, is because of the word of God that is hid in your heart right now. You already know what the Bible said, and so there's no question. So the only question is your frailty.
Yeah.
Your pride.
There's no problem with God.
Right.
The problem's me.
Right.
Yes, amen.
Huh? The problem is facing you and I in the mirror every morning. God has not got a problem today. He's not short on power. He's not on empty for miracles.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? No. He's got it all under control. You say, well, why is this world in such a mess? Because the world is the world.
Right.
And he doesn't want a bunch of puppets.
Right.
Yep.
God's looking for individuals that will serve him and love him because of who he is, not because of what he does. Although that is a benefit of loving him for who he is. I don't love him because of what he does. I love him because of who he is. Therefore, he does for me all the time. We go on to that scripture. Let's get on with it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? All of these different circumstances. He goes on to say, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, in all things, amen, we are more than conquerors. But it didn't stop there.
Right.
Through him that loved us. I'm a conqueror because of his love for me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? Then he goes on to say, and he says this, for I am persuaded. And I just wonder if there's any believers in the house that are persuaded today. I am persuaded that neither life, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, or nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Now that's a lot of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different circumstances and situations and powers and all kinds of things going on. It is obvious to me that nothing outside of ourselves is able to separate us from God, except for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
I want that to sink in.
Yeah.
Oh, because man, I can fight against that enemy because I can see it.
Right.
And I can feel this, and I can fight and fight and fight and fight. But what about this enemy?
Yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
What about the enemy of myself? Have you ever heard the saying, I am my own enemy.
Worst enemy.
Worst enemy.
Right. Amen.
I'm my own worst enemy. Yeah, most of the time, and as much as we have in our society today, we want to blame it on everybody else. Well, my mama did this, and my daddy did that, and I had an uncle that did this, and I had a brother that did this, or a sister. We want to blame it on everybody else.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
true.
Absolutely.
That's the absolute truth. It's everybody else's fault but ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to blame everybody else than it is to say, I'm going to get my big boy underwear on. Well, that wasn't very good. Well, that's the truth. I'm gonna get it together here. The only one that's going to change this situation is me.
Right.
And through the help of God, I'm going to pull this together.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And so all of these things, we can say, I am persuaded, I am persuaded. But what about when it comes to you, to yourself, to your own self-will? You see, again, David conquered that lion. He conquered that bear. He got that giant down and he cut off his head. But he couldn't conquer himself. He got lazy. He got complacent. He was no longer sober and vigilant.
No, yeah, right.
Huh? Amen. No, because the Bible said it was a time when kings went to war.
Yeah.
Right. Now, David had something early on that he knew. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God, of which he was declaring, I'm a soldier.
Right.
Now we have later on in life, when life is good, he's the king, he's conquered, he's got money, he's got all of this notoriety, he's doing good, life is good, the economy's good, and he says, I know it's a time when kings go to war, but I'm going to stay home.
Yeah, come on, come on.
And I'm going to just take my ease. And the Bible said that it was evening time when he rose up off of his bed.
Right.
What were you doing in bed until late in the evening, David? Why were you still in bed? Oh, I get aggravated. People staying in bed.
Unless you work graveyard.
Staying in bed until 10, 11, noon, 1 o'clock. Get your sorry carcass out of that bed and go do something. Get a job. Don't lay around. Don't be lazy.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not Bible, but I sometimes think it should be. I'll tell you this. I'm telling you, the idle mind is a devil's workshop. That's the old saying. It's a Chinese proverb. But it really has its roots in the Bible. Because the Bible even tells... Oh, I get way off track. The Bible even says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and learn of her ways. Watch the way she works. She's never idle. She's always moving. She's always going. She's always doing that. Oh, that maybe ought to be a lesson for another day. But it's good right now anyhow. Laziness and complacency is what got David in trouble. He laid around and just kicked back when he should have been out there warring. Let me tell you today, church, that we were made for war.
Yes.
I said we were made for war. Because from the very beginning, God had made that peaceful garden, and he made it for us, for our enjoyment. But our ancestors decided that they were smarter than God. And they ate of the fruit, and their eyes were opened, and we've been plagued with sin and know-it-all-ism.
That's what
I'm saying. Ever since.
Am I the only one that drives you crazy?
Oh, no.
When somebody sits there, you're trying to tell them something. I know. I want to.
Whack! Do you know I was going to do that? But because Jesus is a little bit inside of me, I refrain myself and I just have this hand flapping back here.
I say, what's wrong with your hand? Oh, I'm just feeling Jesus right now.
Actually, I'm so lined up before the smackdown.
No. You thought I was going to get you.
we got to understand that we cannot allow. We were born for war. But because ever since that day, there's been an all-out war on heaven.
Yep.
The enemy was cast out of heaven because he said, I will be like the Most High.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I will ascend and be on the throne. He was wanting to be God. And that's what got him kicked out. And ever since that day, there has been an all-out war against God. Yeah. Against heaven. Mm-hmm. And guess what? When you were born into the kingdom of God, you were born to war.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. You don't believe that, do you?
Yes.
But that's like people, they come into church and they feel God, they feel His going, and then they go, well, why did this happen to me? Why? Because you were born for war.
Right. Yeah.
You weren't born for a life of kicking back and riding in a Bentley and being in a $5 million house and a boom, 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 boom,
boom.
No. And maids and servants and everything. And that's what happened to David. He had chariots. He had horses. He had everything. He conquered and all this kind of stuff. But he couldn't conquer himself. And when he lost himself was when he became lazy and complacent. That's what happened to him. Hey, church, we can't afford at this day, at this time, to be lazy, to be complacent. No, we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be sober, sober-minded, sober in our heart and in our spirit. The Bible even tells us to do so. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Because.
I don't want you just to be so... Because people say, it's not fun to be sober. Because, man, when I drink, man, I just don't feel anything.
Yeah. You don't feel the devil cutting your throat a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
You don't feel him rotting your liver out just a little bit at a time. As that needle goes into your veins, and you don't feel all of the effects that is happening to your body.
Preach.
Yeah. That's why you got to be sober and you got to be vigilant. Because. your adversary. Your adversary. Yours and yours and yours and yours and mine. My adversary, the devil, is like a roaring. What? What? Lion? Do you think that was coincidence? That David killed that lion, and now he's still like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. I hate cats. Now, all you cat lovers, just please forgive me. I'm gonna ask for your forgiveness ahead of time. But cats are so independent. They're sneaky. They'll break stuff and you never even know that they broke it, because they'll knock the vase off and they'll be clear over there before you get to check out what just fell on the ground. And they're sitting there going, meow. You little devil. You knocked that off in that other room. You just acting like you was over here and that just happened to fall off. Huh? They're sneaky. They're independent. You know, I saw somebody trying to walk a cat with a leash the other day. I'm like, are you serious? Anybody ever tried that before?
No.
Babe. I was going to say, don't raise your hand.
You just don't walk cats. You don't walk cats. You don't do nothing with a cat. Well, never mind. And they're part of that feline deal, and their ancestry goes all the way up the line to a lion. You don't pet a lion. You get your head bit off. I know, you say, oh, but what about this guy and that guy? Yeah, what about that guy that got his head bit or whatever in Vegas? Wasn't it in Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something, is it Siegfried and?
Yeah,
Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, whatever, that guy.
Those guys.
Yeah, you play with them long enough, they're gonna get you.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to get you. Oh, man, I can tell you another story. There was another story. I'm going to tell it to you anyways. What are you laughing at? So, African nation, the man that was a lion hunter, he found a cub. And it was so, so nice. And he thought, well, I'm going to bring it home one day. So he brings it home one day, and he brings it to his family. And his kids just fall in love. Man, they got this nice little pet. It's purring, and then all of a sudden it starts growing. It gets a little bit bigger. It starts eating more. It gets a little bigger. And it's still very nice, and so on and so forth. And so one day, Daddy says, you know what? I got to get rid of this lion. He's getting too big, and he's going to cause us trouble. And the kids are, oh, no, Daddy, please, please, let us keep him. He's our pet. And so his dad gives it. The daddy gives in to the kids, and they go ahead and keep it. And it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. And he knows, I got to get rid of this lion. I've got to get rid of this lion. And the kids are, no, no, Daddy, please, no, no, no. And finally, one day, the lion kills his son. And then it's too late. So now the father has to kill that lion. But now it's a little bit too late for the learning, isn't it? Now you got a dead boy. So now what good does it do to have a dead lion after you've got a dead son? And that's just like sin. You can say, oh, this isn't that big a deal, which everybody does. They go, oh, this is just a... How many of us have ever said a white lie? Don't raise your hand. Just repent later, okay? Okay? A lie is a lie, right. Whether it's a small one or a big, fat, hairy one. It don't matter. A lie is a lie. White, black, green, orange, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a lie. It's a lie. But we're living in a generation and in a society that says, well, it's not that big a deal. Right. So now everybody lies. I think somebody could probably tell me, how many lies is the average person tell a day? How many, Brother Clem?
27.
How many? He keeps the count the whole time. That's the only message he remembers I've ever preached. The statistics are, the average person tells 27 lies a day. That is the average. Some of us are going, I don't tell that many. That's one. And some of us don't tell a lie because we put a coat on it that says, I'm joking, or I'm kidding,
We put it in a different classification and make it say something else to make everybody think that we're not a liar. We're just a jokester.
A lie's a lie.
A lie's a lie. That's right. One of these days he's going to get it. Every time I talk about lying, Brother Clem lets me know he's with me. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's what the enemy of our soul is roaring about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now I got way off track, and I was going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize. It's all good anyhow. Amen. And look at who he may devour. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let me just go there, and I'm just going to go over a little bit. It talks about these examples, and it talks about that they were idolaters in the wilderness, and that the people sat down, and they rose up to eat and drink and play and do all kinds of stuff. I'm going to tell you, that's what society we're living in today. Am I against having fun? No. I like having fun every once in a while, but I don't live to have fun. Amen? Because that's what happened in that generation. And they're saying, listen, this is the example. They rose up to eat and play. They will eat and drink and play. That's all they ever dreamed about. Isn't that exactly what everybody lives for? They work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and partially on Friday so they can party hardy.
Right.
Am I right? Oh yeah, and now they can't get enough of partying on Friday night and all day Saturday and all day Sunday.
Hungover on Monday.
They're hungover on Monday, so they really only have a partial Monday too. Because it's this drive to have fun, to have fun, to have fun, to have fun, right?
Yes.
We're not living in any different society than in the Bible. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. That fornication is indulgence in any type of sexual misconduct. Any type of sexual misconduct. Let me tell you, the Bible said it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to flee fornication, to flee the indulgence of sexual activity that is outside the bonds of marriage. And so that's why we do preach about purity, because it's in the Bible. I don't care what the rest of society says. I don't care that the teachers are teaching them in the school. It's okay to be promiscuous. Just use protection. No, that's called safe sin. And that's an oxymoron, and that's for dummies. It's like use a clean needle. If you're going to do drugs, use a clean drink until your heart's content, you pass out, and you don't know where you're at, but just call Uber.
Yeah.
Really? So, well, I'm trying to be responsible. No, the responsible thing is don't go out and go drink. Don't stick that needle in your arm. Don't be promiscuous, and you won't have to worry about sexually transmitted diseases. You won't have to worry about diseases from dirty needles. You won't have to worry about killing somebody on a head-on collision because you don't know where you're driving. Oh, man, I can tell you all kinds of things. And I'm the guy that's crazy. Well, guess what? I'm sober right now, believe it or not. You say, if this is the way you are sober, yeah, it would be bad if I got on drugs. No, seriously, come on now. Are you with me? We're living in a society that says all this stuff is safe as long as you do it this way and that way. No, it's not safe. Sin is never safe. Sin is never safe. I know. You may say, well, man, I ain't never heard this coming from a pulpit before. Well, welcome to Soul's Harbor. This is a safe place for the whole family. Amen. This is where you're going to hear safe preaching. This is where you're going to hear real preaching. It may challenge you, but I guarantee you, you'll be a better woman. You'll be a better man. You'll be a better young person if you listen to this preaching that comes from this Word of God. Oh, yeah. He said, don't do these things. Neither they that tempted Christ. There were some that tempted Christ, and they were destroyed in the wilderness by serpents. And then the scripture said, all these were done for our example, and it's for our admonition. Amen. But verse 13 is where I really want to get to. And it said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful.
Yes.
But God is faithful.
Yeah.
Yes, He is.
But God is faithful. I'm being tempted right now. And it's a common thing. Let me tell you. You just think that you're the only one that's been tempted by that. But I got news for you, honey. You're not that special.
That was mean. No, I'm just telling you, hey, give up the charade about thinking you're the only one that fights. You ain't.
Right.
We all fight. You say, well, you sure don't act like you fight. You fight like everything's fine and hunky-dory. No, it's not fine and hunky-dory. I got to get up and I look in the mirror every day just like you do. And I go, ugh, it's you again. Huh? Anybody remember what I just said the other day? I don't jump out of bed and go to prayer because I'm spiritual. I jump up and drag myself to prayer because I'm carnal. Yes. And I need to pray. Yes. I need God to touch me. I'm a mess without God. I'm a mess without His glory. I'm a mess without His touch. I don't want to walk however I want to walk. I want Him to order my steps.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Anybody believe that today?
Yeah.
I said, I want God to order my steps. I'm tired of being, every time I get in control, I'm like a drunk man. I guess I've never been drunk, so I don't know what to tell you. You're looking at a young man right now that has never had any alcohol in his body. And let me tell some of you young men that have never had the experience of alcohol, you don't need to try it.
Come on.
I don't care what the peer pressure is out there telling you, you've got to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, more than half of these boys right here probably already experienced pot. But this man right here is almost 45 years old, and I've never experienced the effects of it. And you don't have to. You can keep your mind clean, and you can have a great testimony that I never touched that junk. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you already did, that's okay. You can repent and say, I'll never do it. And then when you get to be my age, you can say, I haven't had any pot in my system for 37 years.
Right.
Or whatever. That's a great testimony. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to have a testimony that says, God delivered me from this and this and this and this. You can have the testimony, God kept me. I wish I had some parents that would help me and believe God with me that these young people do not have to experience that stuff. I don't care what society says. I don't care what the world says. They can just forget it. I'm telling you, they can live righteously, soberly in this present world. In this present, well, no, Pastor, we got so many more. No, we don't. There's nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible says. They were smoking dope many, many years ago. When they didn't even have a law. Whether it was legal or illegal. They've been doing poppy seeds forever over in what you call it, place.
Yes.
Come on, there ain't nothing new under the sun. Sexual immorality has been throughout the Bible.
Right.
It's not new today.
That's right.
Just need to have a strong voice that's going to preach against it. And say, thus saith the word of the Lord. Don't go this way. There's no life. There's no peace. There's no contentment.
Amen.
Well, have good preaching anyhow. That'll save the soul and put meat on your bones. Amen. He said, there's no temptation that's taking you that's not common to man. It's all common. Don't act like it's a big deal. You know what? Every time you act like it's a big deal and you start, well, the devil's been on my back this day.
Giving him glory.
Really? Yeah, you're giving him glory. You're giving him glory. Some of us have learned how to give him more glory than we have God.
Right.
Because, oh, the devil's been after me and the devil's done this and the devil's done that and the devil's done. Why don't you say, oh, glory to God. Isn't God good? His mercy endureth forever. I'm not going to talk about that jerk. Are you kidding me? He doesn't need any recognition. Now that doesn't take away from the fact that he doesn't come and attack us. He does. He does. But I'm not going to give him no glory. Some of y'all are going, man, this preacher's crazy. He's all over the place.
That's
just me. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
Right.
Yes.
God is faithful. And he's not going to let you be tempted above that you're able. He sees that you're able to go to this threshold. Let me tell you something. You know, that's so cool about God. This is so cool. God is so cool. He's not going to tempt you, or you're not going to be tempted more than what you're able. He knows where that threshold is.
Right.
Yes. He's got the devil on a choke chain.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the devil had to go ask permission for Job, right?
Right.
That's right.
So he can't do anything to you that God doesn't just allow.
Right.
And you know what it is? It's just testing you to make you stronger.
Right.
Everybody gets mad at the test.
Right.
But you got to take a test in order to graduate first grade.
Right.
That's right.
You got to take a test in order to graduate second grade.
Right.
And third
that's
and fourth and fifth, and hopefully you get to 11th and 12th.
Good preacher. Yeah.
And you pass that. And you get a diploma. Hopefully you pass your driving test. Oh, thank you. That's a good message. Thank you, son. And he passed it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Yeah, you got it. There's always tests. But each failure, quote unquote, of testing makes you better. Makes you better. It points out your weaknesses and says this is where you need to work. It points out your inadequacies and points out you need to build up here. You need to work on this. It's not to tear you down. It's to build you up. But the enemy wants to make you think that a message like I'm preaching today is to tear you down. This ain't to tear you down. This is to say, hey, I can do this. I can do this with the strength of the Holy Ghost. I don't have to give into this and give into that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Man, I wish there weren't so many words in this brain. But will with temptation make a way of escape. That's what's so cool about God. He says, okay, you're going to be tempted up to that threshold, but watch this. I'm going to give you an escape door, and it's all you have to do is walk through it.
That's right.
And I have noticed that God has done that and does that continually. You don't have to go that way. As a matter of fact, there's some of us that we look at the exit sign and we look over here and we go, you know what? I think I'm just going to stick with this path because it's really not that bad.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You were praying, God, deliver me. God, help me. And he makes a way of escape and you go, why not go another couple days?
Wow.
Come on. You know that's true.
I've
done it. We've all done it. God makes a way. And then we go, no, I think I want to live miserable just another week longer. None of us really say that. But we know if I go out that exit door, I'm going to have to change the way I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to have to change the way I'm talking. I'm going to have to change. If I make a way of escape and I go ahead and take this, I'm going to have to pull myself together here.
Yep.
Wow.
Leave myself in the same condition, pull myself together. Leave myself, that's no contest. I'm out of here. Huh? Help us. And that ye may be able to bear it. So he says, I'm not going to take the temptation away. I'm just going to make a way of escape so you can bear it. And it's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you wiser. The power lies in his ability to work through us. I've got to hurry here for just a little bit longer. David depended on the strength of the Lord. Listen, for the lion, for the bear, for the giant. But he did not depend on God when he needed him the most. In his laziness and his complacency, when he should have been out to war. Now let me challenge you today that if you're letting laziness and complacency say, I'm not lazy, are you praying every day?
Come on. Good. Amen. Come on.
Are you praying every day? And I'm not just saying, yeah, Pastor, I pray 3 times a day. Really? Over breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Gotcha. I knew what you were thinking. I knew what you were thinking. You know why? Because I used to justify the same thing. I pray 3 times a day. I'm like Daniel. No, you're not. You're not like Daniel. He opened up those windows and he prayed. I'm going to tell you, he got down to business and he prayed. He didn't just say, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Bless you, my body, in Jesus' name, amen. Boom, let's eat. Huh? Uh-oh, it must be getting tired. He didn't say that. No, he spent some time in prayer. I'm talking about, have you spent some time in prayer? Have you been reading your word? Have you spent some time in reflection and looking at, is this what I really should do? Is this who God is asking me to become? And that's what happened with David. He got lazy. He got complacent. And this truly is our world today. And it's bled into the church. You know, something that I find amazing is most employers now just put up with people coming to work 5 and 10 and 15 minutes late. They're just happy that they still show up to work. Does anybody realize that?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because so many people do it now. So many people. Is there anybody on your job right now that show up, except for Brother Derek? That shows up on your job late? Huh? Yeah. People all the time. And it's become a, well, and the attitude is, you ought to be glad I showed up.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, you ought to be glad. And I say they ought to be fired, but at the same time, if they did that to everybody, they'd only have about 3 or 4 people working for them when they need 100.
Yeah.
So they got to just say, well, I got to keep these people. Because they won't show up. You know why? Because they're lazy.
Yes.
That laziness in the flesh bleeds over to laziness in the spirit.
Right.
Come on. Is that too hard?
No. That's okay. That's okay.
Some of y'all went,
you're
calling me lazy. Come on now. Because it will bleed over. If you always make a way of excuse and try to get out of this and try to... People work harder at getting out of work than if they just went to work.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, these are life skills of the Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
Want to know how to be successful? Well, this is how you do it.
Amen.
This is how you do it. All right. It's blood in the church. But some way, somehow, someone must rise to the occasion and get to killing this old flesh.
Amen.
And have revival again.
Yes.
When I talk about revival, you know, revival has been messed up too, because when we say revival, we talk about a series of services. We talk about people coming in. No, really, revival is reviving something that's dead.
Right, yeah.
And we're not going to have harvest until we revive in ourselves, personally.
Yes.
In our own selves. We've got to be revived again in the things of Almighty God. No matter what the failures of the flesh might be, God still uses people to do great things.
Yep. Amen.
You hear me?
Yeah.
No matter what the failures of the flesh are, God still uses people to bring about great things.
Amen.
I want to remind you today that it was after David lying, it was after David having Uriah the Hittite murdered out on the battlefield and stealing his wife, it was after all of that that David was called a man after God's own heart. How in the world, after such a horrible failure, after such a flagrant foul, could God even remotely say, this is a man after my own heart? I'll tell you why. Because David knew how to repent. David knew how to make some things right. He knew he had messed up. He knew he had blown it. He knew that if, oh man, I'll guarantee you, David said, man, if I only would have just went to war like I knew I should have.
Right.
If I just wanted to stay at home. Some of us, if we just wanted to stay at home from church,
You never know what God would have done for you in that service.
That's right.
You never know how God could have taken a piece of the puzzle and put it so prophetically and profoundly into your life and into your world. And you go, that was my answer. Right. That was my ticket of help. That was my strength. That's what I needed.
That's right.
I know I gotta land this plane. But let me try to end here. I'll see if I can find a good place to land. There are five common denominators to David's victory. Number one, he went out. At the moment of the attack, David went to meet the aggressor. He didn't hesitate, he only acted. Now let me put it, get ready. Let me put it like this. So you feel that tug in your heart, and God says, go talk to them.
Yeah.
Go witness to them.
Yeah.
And we don't do it. We don't go out immediately and do what God has asked us to do. David said, there's a problem. There's a situation here. I'm scared to death to go invite this person to church. I'm scared to death. And you know what? I got to quit saying invite this person to come to church. I got to start saying tell somebody about your personal testimony. Because it said that they're one by the word of your testimony. Not by giving a church card and saying, hey, come to church with me. Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. Okay, don't get me wrong. If that's the first step you got to take to get them to come, that's fine too. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong when I say that. But I'm going to tell you, they're going to be more impressed with your testimony than anything else.
That's right.
Yeah. I prayed, God, I'm going back to work and I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be working 40 hours a week or more or whatever, however this works out. I said, every house that I go to, I want to make sure that my light shines. Second day I'm in this house, we get to talking about Bible. As a matter of fact, to spend a little bit of time, it's a good thing I'm not getting paid by the hour.
Okay, so let me just clarify that. I'm not getting paid by the hour, so wasn't taking my boss's time.
But I'm sitting there, I'm talking to them about the Word of God, and I'm explaining to them about the Word of God, and I tell them, do you read your Bible? Well, yeah, I do, but I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. So get this app, and I showed them, I opened up my phone, I started showing them how to work this app on my phone, and this, that, and the other, and they were just so enthralled with me and my wife. Came back one day, and they gave me a $50 gift card to Chili's, and said, here, we're just so thankful you're in our home. I began to talk to him about the Lord. I spent some time, and she got teary-eyed. And I said, I am a pastor of a church, and we've got a mission work that's going on in the Marshall Islands, and we've got this and that and the other. And I said, you might want to come to church someday. She goes, you know what? I might do that. I just might do that. Let me tell you something. You need to pray that everywhere you go, God use me.
Yes.
Even if it happens in In-N-Out parking lot. You have to learn what that means. God can do some of the craziest things in moments that you don't even know what's going on. But I'm going to tell you, ladies, let me tell you something. You three ladies are not here by accident and no plan to
take
you. Not here by accident. Nobody comes into the presence of God and into the house of the Lord by accident. It's divinely ordered of God, and God's got all these pieces and parts of the puzzle putting it together for specific times.
Yes.
Let me tell you, David, he didn't hesitate. And I'm compelling you. I'm trying to encourage you here today to not be shy. And I titled this, and I'm going to come back and have to preach it again. It's our time now.
Yes.
I'm not even done. I got 11 pages of notes, and I'm only on page 5.
That's right. Come on.
So you'll get some more of this later. Come back. Not today. Next week. He didn't hesitate. He only acted. Oh, when something comes against us, and I'm going to tell you, it's like a lion. It's like a lion to you because you're so paralyzed by fear when God says, go testify to them. Come on, be honest. Is that not a lot like a lion that's paralyzed you with fear that you won't say something?
Yes.
Oh, but I'm concerned about my job. I'm concerned about this. Is God greater?
Yes.
Or is he not? Is that just good little cliches and nice little fancy words that you like to use? Or is that real? I'm challenging us, right? I'm putting the challenge out to us. He delivered that lamb. He delivered what was rightfully his to start with. And let me tell you, that individual that God said, go testify to them, that individual is rightfully God's. And you are David, and fear is the lion that is keeping you from delivering them from the mouth of that lion.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's rightfully God's. That individual is not Satan's. It's not the devil's. God made that soul. I don't care if they're a meth addict and they've picked up their face so bad their face is full of scabs and their arms are full of scabs and their teeth are all gone out of their head. I don't care what they look like, Sister Bishop. I don't care what they smell like. It's all right with me. God can fix anything.
Yes.
God can fix any of it. God can do it. Remember what I said the other day? It took them 3 years to finally get who Jesus was.
Yeah.
You just keep loving him. You just keep loving him. You just keep praying for him. You just keep reaching out to him. When that enemy rose up against David, he never faltered from the original plan. It was to destroy. It was to destroy the enemy. He was not going to be denied his victory. Is that our attitude today? I'm not going to be denied my victory. I'm not going to let the enemy steal this one from me. So he grabbed him and he caught him by the beard. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you are dead. It wasn't enough. Notice this. Every single one of these things. He delivered that lamb and he caught him. And then that thing rose up again. He said, all right, you're dead. He learned a lesson with the lion and the bear. That when the giant came, he knocked him down with that rock. But he said, it ain't good enough to let a sleeping giant lay.
That's right.
No. He went over there and he pulled out that sword. You may have knocked him off kilter, got him off your track for a little while, but if you don't finish it, if you don't finish it, he's coming back. And he's coming back, and he's already got seven other brothers, or three other brothers. How many brothers did he have?
Seven.
Huh? Was it seven? There's a bunch of other brothers. And he took that sword and he cut his head off. And then when everybody knew it was really over is when David picked up that 50-pound head by the hair. And he raised it up as the blood was dripping from the bottom of that head cut off. I'm going to tell you what. He didn't just go one deal.
No.
He had to hack at that thing. He had to whack at it and whack it. And you say, that's disgusting. That's gross. It gets a little grody.
Yeah.
It gets a little disgusting. Fighting in war gets a little bit nasty from time to time. But if you're going to have victory, you've got to be willing to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
I don't have enough time to go here. But our weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Yeah.
They are mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
I'm not. We're not talking about the old-fashioned way of getting out a sword and a shield, but we're talking about prayer. We're talking about praise and worship. We're talking about fasting. We're talking about things that make a difference in the heavenly.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? He finished the job and he slew him completely. Never before in the history of the world, and I use this in some relationship, but in all of humanity, I know there's no new thing under the sun, but it's getting darker and darker. It's getting more wicked by the hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the hour.
Yes.
Sin is increasing every moment. The Bible even tells us that Satan knows that his time is short. And I know my time is short. But Satan knows his time is short, Brother Carlos, and he said that because he knows it's short, he's come down in great wrath.
That's right. Amen.
He's come with a ferocity and an intention to destroy everything he possibly can by any means possible. Do you realize that the enemy of your soul is using every possible tactic he can to destroy you?
That's right.
So it is up to you to use everything available to you to defeat him. Because you can. But you've got to do it with God.
Amen.
You've got to do it with God. You can't do it on your own. We're facing such overwhelming odds. The obstacles in our way have never been greater. The home is deteriorating. Morality is at an all-time low.
Yep.
Sin is ever rampant. Our world is spinning out of control. But it's our time.
Yep.
Right.
And I got a whole bunch more that I could preach and give you example after example after example that in the worst of situations, it was always the best situation for God to work in.
Yep.
So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that even though your situation may be dark,
yeah,
it may not look very hopeful, there may be a lot of discouraging elements in place, but always God works best in the most difficult situations. And he always uses people to bring about the greatest miracles.
Right.
So I'm challenging us today to leave behind the failure, the mistake, the blunders, the tripping up, to leave that behind, grab a hold. Man, I feel that. Grab a hold of the hand of the Almighty God.
Yeah.
Say, God, without fear and without favor, I'm going to continue to go into battle for your kingdom. For you are the captain of my salvation.
Yep.
Yes, and there is an all-out war against your kingdom, of which I'm a part of, just like David. And I'm coming to fight, and you be the captain.
Yes.
You lead the way. You show me the way, and I'll fight.
That's right.
I will pray. I will read. I will worship. I will testify. I will do everything that needs to be done. I will tell them of this great plan of salvation. Their need to repent. Their need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Their need to get their sins washed away in the wonderful name of Jesus. That name that is above every other name. I'm going to declare it one more time. Oh, God, it's my time. It's my time. God, some of you right now, you hear me. You defeated the lion of alcoholism. You defeated the lion of drugs in your life. You defeated the life of sexual misconduct. conduct in your life. You've already defeated all of those, but now you're up against another enemy that is greater than the alcohol, than the drugs, than the sexual promiscuity, and that enemy is yourself. Will you be able to conquer yourself? Will you be able to conquer complacency? Will you be able to conquer laziness? Will you be able to persevere in the realm of the spirit on the behalf of yourself, your family, and others? Because we are in a fight. And I wonder where you're at today. Nobody knows like you know. Nobody knows like you know. Now is the time to apply the word. God, I have had some victories, this one and that one, and I've had some things go on, but I'm still facing some other issues in my life. Help me today. Does anybody feel the need for Him right now? I need your help. I need your strength. I need some courage, God. I need your spirit. Is there anybody? I need you, Lord. I need you right now. God, I'm facing some temptations. I'm in the middle of a trial. I'm in the middle of a very bad situation with my spouse. There's heartache. There's pain. There's suffering. There's misery in my marriage. There's misery in my home. There's misery on my job. God, I need some divine intervention. Brother, sister, friend of mine, you can't do it by yourself. You keep trying. But right now, will you reach out? Will you reach out? Will you call on His name? Come on, where it's appropriate, would you reach over and touch a neighbor on the shoulder and pray with one another? Encourage one another right now. God, I need your help. God, we need your help. We lift up our hands. Will somebody lift up your hands in surrenderance today? I need your help, Lord. Will you call on His name? Come on, right now, will you call on His name? Don't delay. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, He's making a way of escape for you. He's making a way of escape. He's giving you the opportunity to find some miracle, to get some healing, to see the relief that you're needing. Reach out to Him today. Come on, will you pray? Will you pray? Will you reach out right now? Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, saints of God. Let us reach today. Everybody, everybody in this house. Oh, people of God, will you reach today? Will you call on the name of the Lord? Will you lift up your voice? Will you lift up your voice? Call on Him today. Come on, we got some unsaved husbands. We've got some unsaved wives. We've got some unsaved children that God needs to intervene today. Will you pray? Will you pray and let God use you? God, use us. Use me today. Oh, to face fear in the face, God. Look it right in the eye. You have no dominion. You have no authority over my husband. You have no authority over my wife. You have no authority over my children. Those are God's. My husband is God's. My wife is God's. My children are God's. Those are God's. They belong, and I've come to take them back. I've come to defy the enemy. Oh, I've come to defy the enemy today. Come on, reach. Reach. Pray for whatever. Pray, pray, pray. Oh, pray for one another today. Oh, Jesus. 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 That's it. That's it. Come on. Let the power of the Holy Ghost move on us right now. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. He'll hear your cry. He'll not only hear, he will answer. He will answer you. What is it that you need today? Make your petition. Make your petition known to God. Make your petition known to God today.